Now grab your Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Acts this evening. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 32 through 37. Acts chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. We'll read these responsively. I'll read the even verses, you'll read the odd verses. You get to be odd tonight. All right, so you'll read the odd verses, I'll read the even verses. Get permission tonight. How about that? Acts chapter 13, starting in verse number 32, going down to verse number 37, we'll read this responsibly. The Bible says, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. Lord, just the amazing, incredible miracle that you rose again. Lord, you're not our only God that died for us, but you rose again. You're alive. You live today. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you, please just bless the message tonight. Be with our pastor. Lord, help us to listen. Keep the distractions away. And Lord, just would you help our hearts to be open. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to help you tonight. This is, it's a little bit of a preventive maintenance sermon. You men know what I'm talking about. You don't wait till the oil light goes on to check your oil. You're supposed to have it changed regularly and check it regularly. And it's easier to fix a problem before it's a problem than to wait till it breaks down and have a problem. So this is one of those preventive maintenance type messages. I want you to notice something. This is not part of the sermon, but we read in verse 33 and then also in verse 35. Notice how God in the New Testament quotes scripture from the Old Testament. Isn't it amazing? You can go to the Old Testament and read the same thing in the New Testament that Jesus and the disciples were quoting from the Old Testament because it's the same Bible. They didn't have to rewrite it. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there just for fun. Now, back to the rest of the story. Many people get to be, I call it middle-aged, and begin to think about what legacy they're going to leave in life. Usually hits around 45-ish or so. They then try to live in such a way to be remembered, listen to this, for what they want to be remembered for. They think what they think is important to them will be important to others when they're gone. Make a statement here. What a horrible way to live. What a selfish way to live. We cannot and we will not determine our own legacy. Everybody doing okay? Y'all look like I just punched you. We cannot and we will not determine our own legacy. Who do we think we are that people will remember us for what we want to be remembered by? That is as selfish as Satan himself. You could be your own God deciding good and evil. You have no right to determine what others will remember about you. Now, I'm not one that wastes time thinking about what I'll be remembered for. Some people, I don't want them to remember me. Amen? It is said by God about King David. I want you to look at verse number 36. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw no corruption. Do you know how God viewed King David's legacy? He served his own generation by the will of God. What will David be remembered for in the annals of time, in the history books that God records? He served his own generation by the will of God. July 31st, 1980, shut up. I was in Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. I was listening to a missionary preach in Spanish to his church. It was a building about half the size of our auditorium, and there must have been 100 people crammed in there. I didn't understand one word the man said, hardly. But I watched a bunch of people get saved. God started working on my heart. I wasn't speaking in tongues, but I knew God had been working on me. That night, through a series of events over the invitation, I surrendered my life to serve God full time, whatever he wanted me to do. I'll be honest with you, I came back, my dad will tell you this is true, I came back thinking I was going to Mexico as a missionary. For years, I honestly thought that's what I would do. My pastor wisely said, Craig, how about you just decide to do whatever God wants you to do, not what you want to do? I said, yes, sir. I enrolled in college, and they said, what major? I said, well, if I'm going to the mission field, I probably ought to be a missionary, but to me, a missionary is nothing but a pastor on the mission field, so might as well learn how to pastor. That way, no matter what, I'm ready for it. I enrolled in a pastoral theology major, and through a process of about a year or two, I found out God did not want me going to the mission field. And I spent my entire ministry virtually here in the United States of America. But I've trained missionaries in Mexico. I've won people to Christ who are now missionaries in Costa Rica and other countries, my converts. I've trained people that are now missionaries all over the world and helped missionaries all over the world. God took me to serve my own generation, and he's magnified it far above what I could see. Listen to me very carefully here. David lived to serve God and his generation the best he could. You boys and girls, you teenagers, you young people, listen to me. You're looking at a man that's lived his whole adult life serving God. The last 44 years of my life I've been preaching, and the last 35 plus years I've been doing it full time. I have lived my entire teenage years and adult years serving God. I'd like to one day, as an older man, walk out of this pulpit and die between services. Listen to me. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to get out of the will of God. I want to stay in the will of God to my dying day. Now listen to me. I don't know what I'll be remembered for. I never think about it. Say, what do you think about, preacher? Doing what I need to do today. What I might be able to do tomorrow. And reach as many people in my generation as I can along the way. David focused on meeting the needs of his people the way God wanted, and let God take care of the legacy. Look how many times the kings of Israel screwed up, and God said, for David's sake, I'll do this. for your father David, I'll do this. If it wasn't for him, I'd start all over. There are many good things that King David did. There are some bad things King David did. Everybody just hear what I said? He was in no way perfect. But God tells us that his legacy was he served his own generation by the will of God. Now listen to me. King David was not a preacher. He never pastored a church. He never preached a sermon. He was a king, a politician. He was a national leader, and he served his own generation by the will of God. Would to God we had politicians who would serve their own generation by the will of God, not the will of the people. He wanted to be the best person that he could be to help as many as he could follow God. Maybe we need to quit trying to make a name for ourselves. Listen to me very carefully here. I am thankful for the legacy that's been handed down through my family. And I'm proud of who I came from. But even if I wasn't, I'm still supposed to serve do the will of God for my generation. I thank God who my parents are, my grandparents. I never met my great-grandparents that I remember. But I have a long history. But I got some folks in our family that didn't do everything so good. I got an uncle that recently got right with the Lord. I talked with him not long ago. It's the first time I ever heard my uncle mention God and it wasn't attached to a curse word. I'm not kidding. Told my dad, I said, I got to get used to this. I'm waiting for it to change again. But it hadn't. I'm glad. Believe me, I'm glad. And I love him. Prayed for many years for him. But to hear him talk about God in a spiritual way and not is a bit unique right now. Now hang on for a second here. How about we live to serve our own generation by the will of God? Young people, how about you decide it's not what you want to do, but what God wants you to do? Don't get mad at me, parents. I'm about to say something. It's not what mommy and daddy want you to do. It's what God wants you to do. Parents, quit putting ceilings on your children to do what you could not do. Quit trying to relive your childish years and teen years through your kids. God made them for a purpose, and it wasn't to be you. Everybody doing all right? Every generation has its own battles to be fought and its own legacies to be lived. So live it. Let me give you three or four things tonight and we'll go to the house. Number one, how your life affected others is going to be your legacy, not what you think in your own mind. How your life affected other people is how you'll be remembered, not by what you think you're going to be remembered for. Well, preacher, what do you want on your tombstone? I don't care. I'm not going to read it. I guess my name, probably my birth date and my death date. Past that, I don't give a rip. You might want to put on there, stand back in case of rapture. This thing's opening up quick. I don't know. But I will tell you this. I don't care. I don't live one moment of my life wondering, in 50 or 60 or 70 years, what are they going to remember about me? I never do. I don't waste one moment of time on that. Your perception of you is never accurate. Do you know the easiest person to lie to is the person you look at in the mirror? You can convince yourself of anything, whether it be right or wrong. Our sin and our pride causes us to lie to ourselves way too much. The famous lie, well, I can get it tomorrow. I can do it later. Yeah, and it later has never come in the last 27 years. It's still sitting there waiting to be done. Okay, let me get to where you live. Are you ready? I'm going to go from preaching to meddling real fast here. Let me show you exactly what I mean. Look at people's bit emojis or their VR, virtual reality emojis. That'll tell you what they think of themselves. It amazes me. Somebody, I had sent them something. I got one of those little doojiggers. And somebody said, wow, that really does look close to you. Yeah, I didn't lie about it. It amazes me how people want to portray themselves, even in a cartoon character. Everybody doing okay? Okay, got down to where we live, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Some of you are going to be very disappointed that people don't treat you in life like your avatar. One of the most dangerous things you can do is allow children to build a legacy like that that's not real. Because when they get to reality and people don't accept them that way, life gets very difficult. I'll quit meddling. I want to stay about 3 hours on that one point. We are able to lie to ourselves more than anyone. And we usually do. We never see ourselves as others see us. Never. We have a hard time understanding why people don't want to love us. I'm going to make a statement. Brother Joe, I find nowhere in Scripture that says that David sits down and wonders what he's going to be remembered for. I've read it and 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 read it, and I never find one place where he sits down and says, well, I wonder what 100 or 200 or 500 years from now people are going to remember for me. It's not in there. David served his own generation by the will of God. I guess if I had a hope of something that I could be remembered for, I hope someday it could be said that he served in the will of God with his life. I do. Past that, I don't know. I don't worry about it. I don't think about it. Number two. Everybody doing all right? Take a deep breath. Okay, here we go. We need to learn to just do all we can and not think about how we will be remembered. How about we forget about what people think of us? And how about we just encourage God by how much we get done? We should live to help somebody else, not build our own reputation. I have people in this community that love me. Brother Anthony and I were working with the apartment place where we're getting for Beatrice. Middle-aged man that works on all the maintenance stuff there. I was an assistant pastor in the church where he was at years ago. Oh, he followed me like a puppy dog. I haven't seen him in years. wait a minute. But it sure does pay when you need to get in and see things and off hours and different things. Oh, Brother Bush, just let me know you're coming. I'll unlock the door, go in whenever you want. Just do whatever you need to do. There are some people like that. There are other people in this area. You better duck. They didn't like something I preached. Which one is true? Probably both. So it depends who you ask, what I'll be remembered by. So I don't worry about, my wife was out soul winning one day, I think Mrs. Barnes was with her, and they knocked on the door and this lady started grumbling about me. Was it you, Mrs. Lopez? It was Mrs. Lopez. This lady started grumbling about me, and my wife said, well, my husband, she said, oh, that's your husband. As only my wife could say, yes. You know, we shouldn't think about, and we shouldn't live thinking about, how will this help me be remembered? I've met people like this. Everything they do is how will this take me to the next step? How will I be remembered for this? I've got to be in the light for this so people remember this in... Good grief. That is the epitome of selfishness. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's see what Jesus says about trying to build your own reputation, trying to leave your own legacy. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth. Most of you, that's how you live your life. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret himself shall reward thee openly. He said, look, don't do what you do to be seen of people and to be built and be building your own reputation. Do it in private and just do what's right. Don't worry about whether you get credit for it or not. How about we let God keep record instead of us keeping record? I'm going to make a statement here, and some of these, this might hurt. But do you know when you get to heaven, you're not going to sit down beside God and say, now God, this is what I did. And you're not going to compare notes. Too many of us think God's keeping the same notes we're keeping. Wrong answer. You failed the test. You're not going to sit down in heaven one day and compare your notes of your life to the notes that God has. Everybody doing okay? So I quit taking notes. I quit worrying about it. I was somewhere recently, and honestly, I was doing something. I was out in public, and a person walked over and said, do you remember me? Oh, I hate that question. Folks, I've met millions of people. No, I don't remember you. I said, no, should I? They said, oh, about 2-3 years ago, I was such and such place, and you helped me. I said, I did? They said, yeah. This is what you did. I said, I did? They said, you don't remember? I said, I don't. They said, well, we do. We just want to thank you. I said, you're welcome. I don't think about it. Well, I'm glad they said something, but no, I don't remember it. My wife and I were going to Hawaii. We left the house. Trucks packed. I didn't get down Van Cleesville Road to the end, and there was a guy mowing, and that day it was hot. And just after it rained, it was hot and humid. So And he got the mower down in that ditch in front of that trailer park, and he was spinning his tires. And it wasn't one of these little mowers. It wasn't a U-turn or one of the giant zero turns, but it was a big mower. My wife said, "He looks like he's stuck." I said, "He doesn't look like it. He is." I whipped over and pulled into the driveway. She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go help him." Well, he's got ear things on because that mower's just, and I'm trying to walk up without scaring the bejeebers out of him and hoping he doesn't have a gun sitting there going to shoot me. And I finally, I said, "Get off." I said, "Let me help you." I said, "Do this. You lift up, and I'm going to lift up." I said, "We're going to pick it up out of this hole far enough so that you're not spinning in the mud." About two or three heave-hos, and we finally got him up out of there. And I said, "Okay, jump on that thing, but stay on this side." And he did, and I gave it one more while he gave it the go, and off he went. I love doing that kind of stuff. My wife said, "You're going on vacation. What's the first thing you do? Help somebody." She said, "Wait, I haven't even gotten a mile away from home yet." I said, "I love it." What a way to start a vacation, amen? Helping somebody. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? How about we let God keep record and we just throw our book away? Amen. Quit keeping your own diary on what God's got to reward you for. When we live to serve our own generation, you'll quit worrying about wanting your needs met and wanting to meet their needs. "I don't have any needs. I don't want anything. The only thing I want is to serve the people of Grace Baptist Church. That's what I want. Amen. I want to help people. I want to be there for that preacher that called me this week. Young man taking his first church, and he was about to make a mistake a couple weeks ago, and I helped him, and God gave him a miraculous happening this week in selling his house and getting a new one. And you know how bad interest rates are right now. Well, he took a church. He was an assistant pastor going to pastor, and he was going to settle for a house. I said, don't do it. I said, "I'm telling you, you're about to make a mistake." He said, "All right, preacher, what do I?" I said, "You need to do this." He did. He called me this week and he said, "Preacher, you ain't going to believe this." He said, "We got a house that's 5 years old. I get to assume the mortgage at 2.3% interest. And what I have in my other house, I can pay the rest of that off. So I just assume the loan and take over their payment. And his other loan was going to be at 7.5%. He said, "I'm so glad I listened to you." He said, "My wife is so much happier." I said, "You will be too." He said, I said, I know, slow down. I said, "Just do the will of God. Take the next step. I texted him today, told him about our day. He texted me, he said, "Preacher, we had visitors. I had a Catholic man that came to my church and couldn't believe we preached like this. Said he's coming back." He said, "It's fun serving God on this side like this." I said, "When you do it the right way, it is." I said, it's better than sliced bread, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? I want to be there for that preacher that called me this week, and I spent hours with him because he got a heartache. I want to be there for the people in this church and help them through their burdens and their heartaches. I'm not keeping score. God is. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4 says this. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was the mind of Christ Jesus? Others, not himself. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. By the way, to this day, what is Jesus' reputation? Depends who you ask. We who love him as a Christian know what he was. Those of false religions, especially the Muslim religion, hate him. You're not in control of your own legacy. Even the Savior was not. You can't dictate what people are going to think about you when you're not there. Everybody doing okay? Jesus lived right. Jesus did not try to build a reputation. He just wanted to please God. Do you know Jesus was homeless for much of his adult life? Think about it. I said something the other night, kind of shocking. Jesus wasn't an old man. He was a young man. They crucified him at the age of 33. He started his ministry when he was that age. Lasted 3.5 years. Then they killed him. I don't plan on killing you that fast, right? Just so you know. Jesus let God the Father build what the people remembered. He just obeyed him. How about we have a reputation of obedience, not trying to build our own reputation? Number three, and I'll finish. Listen to this statement. We cannot do the will of God if we're trying to build our own reputation. We cannot do the will of God if we're trying to build our own reputation. That day on July 31st, 1980, when I knelt at an altar right down here in a little building in Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua, Mexico, I had to decide whether I was going to do what I wanted or what God wanted. Me, I wanted to play professional baseball or go in the military. Now listen to me. I had to die to what I wanted to do what he wanted. My youth pastor was not very nice. He made me preach my first sermon the next day. By the way, he's still in the ministry. Pastor's in Peoria, Illinois right now. I got a text from him last night. Brother Craig, I'm praying for you and Miss Debbie. I love you. I'm proud of you. Can I tell you something? I'd rather do the will of God than do what I want to do any day. Let me use some Bible illustrations here. When I give you the name, I want you not to say out loud, but I want you to think of the first thing you think of. Job. Most of you think of patience or trials. A troubled life. Job did not choose what came his way. But I've read the book of Job many, 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 many times, and I think of a very blessed man, not a cursed man. Job was a very wealthy man. He lost it all, and then God gave him back twice as much. Why? Because he wasn't worried about what he's going to be left with. He wanted to serve God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In the deepest, darkest days of his life, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. He wasn't whining and crying. He wasn't boo-hooing about not having enough money in the bank. He wasn't worried about what his friends thought. Bunch of idiots anyway. No. He even lost the loyalty of his wife. Got to a point where his wife looked at him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? How'd you like coming home to that? God gave him back twice as many of his businesses. See, but he only had 10 more kids. Yeah, but that was the curse on his wife. Amen. She had to have 10 more kids after that. She had already, by the way, all his kids were adults by the time they died and they were married. She wasn't a young lady. Anyway, can I tell you something? Job was a very blessed man. How will Job be remembered? According to the book of James, it talks about the patience of Job. His faith was tested and tried, but he came forth. Job didn't choose that. There are Christians that are just like Job's three friends. Well, God's judging you. Look at how bad everything is, and God's judging you. No, God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? You can do what you want to him, and he's still going to serve me. Devil, you can take what you want from him. Well, I took everything that he had, but you let me take his health. The devil says, skin for skin, yea, a man will give all that he hath for his own life, for his own flesh. He said, go ahead, but you can't kill him. Job sat there in the ashes of the local dump, taking a clay pot, scraping the pus out of the boils in his body. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, why me, God? He didn't have a pity party. He wasn't complaining that it was him. Everybody doing all right? What did I do wrong? No, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whew. Bet you God said, that's my boy. Hang in there, son. Won't be long. I got some good stuff coming. Job didn't realize he was being used to whip the snot out of the devil. But he was. How about Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph didn't want to be hated by his brothers, but he was. Joseph's brothers hated him so much they took him on a trip, were going to kill him. If it weren't for his youngest brother saying, we better not kill him, how about we just throw him in a hole down here and kill an animal and put blood on his coat and say that an animal killed him, and that way we don't actually have to kill him, we'll just let him here to die on his own. Then while they were working on that plan, the Sabians came and they said, look, we can make a little money on this deal. We can just sell him as a slave. And they literally sold their own brother as a slave to get rid of him. And go back and tell their dad that he was killed. Shazam, about 20 years later, there's a famine in the land, and their daddy sends them to Egypt to get food. Well, the Sabians had sold them to the Egyptians. And Joseph had risen to power in Egypt. It was second highest in the land. And they come to get food, and they stand before Joseph, and Joseph sees his brothers and has to go run, hide himself, so they don't see his tears. Huh. I don't know that Joseph wanted to be hated by his brothers that badly. I don't think it was in Joseph's diary that he wanted to be left for dead or sold as a slave by his brothers and have his dad think that he was dead all those years. But Joseph served God and did right in spite of Potiphar's wife and spending years in jail. And then rose back to second in power again the second time. Think through that. Joseph didn't live an easy life. But look what God did. Moses. Moses is not even his Hebrew name. It's never been recorded what Moses' Hebrew name was. Moses is his Egyptian name. Given by Pharaoh's daughter, she named him Moses because she drew him from the water. God never even called him by his Hebrew name. Called him by his Egyptian name. Now think through this for a second. He was supposed to have been killed as soon as he was born, thrown into the Nile River and let the crocodiles eat his body. But his mama held him for 3 months and held off, and then she made a basket and sealed it so that it would float downriver so hopefully somebody would find the baby and take pity and take him in. Moses' older sister Miriam followed that basket down the river to where Pharaoh's daughter was in the river washing that day, and she heard the baby cry. And they opened the basket and saw it, and her heart was tender. She couldn't have any children. And Miriam said, well, would you like me to go get a Hebrew lady to nurse it for you and you can take care of it? She said, that's a good idea. You go find me a Hebrew woman that'll take care of this baby. And Moses' sister saved his life, runs back, gets his own mama and said, you ain't gonna believe this, mama. And his mama gets paid to rear her own son for a few years. She didn't have him long, but while she had him, she put the fear of God in him. She taught him who he was secretly. No wonder, 80 years later, God speaks to him from a burning bush. Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Oh, by the way, he had already killed somebody with his bare hands. Now God wants him to go back to Egypt where he is a escaped murderer and go stand before the Pharaoh. How'd you like to try to do that one? He said, I want you to lead my people out of bondage. I don't think that's what Moses thought his legacy was going to be. Look what God did with his reputation, though. Moses could have been the next Pharaoh. He was next in line to be Pharaoh of Egypt. He left it all a murderer. But God brought him back a deliverer. Jacob in the Old Testament. Don't get mad at me, but I think Jacob's a sissy boy. Any boy would rather stay home and make soup than go out and go hunting. Something ain't right. There's just something wrong with that. And I'm for boys learn how to make soup and cook. Believe me, and I can do it. But if I got the choice of staying home and cooking and be with mommy or going out going hunting, let's go get some blood and guts. Amen. There's just something about it. But Jacob was a sissy boy. He was a deceiver. He grew up a trickster and tricked his brother out of a birthright. Tricked his brother out of the blessing. And yet, that blessing brought forth Jacob's name change to Israel. The father of the naming of the nation of Israel. God's chosen people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't think that was his first thought. I think it's kind of funny. He worked 7 years to get a girl to be his wife. And then after they got married and they go on their honeymoon, he found out he got her sister instead of her. Now that ain't fair. Then he had to work another 7 years to get the one he originally wanted. Then he worked another 7 years building his father-in-law's business, and his father-in-law complained that he was too successful, and they parted ways, and Jacob ended up parting with more than what his father-in-law had. Jacob was the trickster, but Jacob got tricked too. He put up with sister-in-law for a wife. Help us. I don't think Jacob's life turned out the way he planned. But one night late, he was arguing with the angel of the Lord, and it became morning, and he said, "Look, I'm not letting go until you bless me, and I know that God's in this." And that angel took his hand and touched the hollow of his thigh, and his thigh was out of place the rest of his life. He walked with a limp to remind him that God was going to bless him there. We need to quit worrying about our reputation. We need to quit worrying about our legacy. How about we live today to help somebody today? And we live tomorrow to serve somebody other than our stinking self. How about we learn to live to help others and not ourselves? How about we have the reputation that God says of David? For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God. What a wonderful thing to be said about somebody. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do we think about what we want to be remembered as too much? Maybe we ought to get on our face and ask God to forgive us, and let's just try to live each day the best we can for him. Let's not try to leave a legacy. Let's try to live the way he wants us to in his will.